What's going on in Connecticut? Find out on Wake Up with Finch and King, only on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Good morning, and welcome to Wake Up, your radio home for truth, justice, and democracy. I'm Melissa Kane, your host. My friend and co-host Bill Finch is out this gorgeous Sunday morning, and boy, is he missing an exciting show. We have three newly elected Fairfield County chief executives with us, and I couldn't be more excited to talk to them. And as Bill likes to say, this is your radio home if you're tired of our country being divided and manipulated, tired of the right-wing screamers of talk radio, tired of the science deniers, the bullies, and the climate deniers flooding the zone, and tired of those who won't fight for you. And listener, if you, like me, are reeling from the events of the last 11 months of continual chipping away of our democratic institutions, intensifying of political violence, and the utter cruelty and chaos of the current administration, and you feel that our government and parts of our country are truly unrecognizable right now, you are in the right place. This is not a drill. We must stand up for what's right and for the rule of law. And something really good happened on November 4th. Americans did stand up, and we spoke with our votes in California, in Virginia, in New Jersey, in Maine, and right here in Connecticut. Connecticut, which is in so many ways a beacon of light in the country right now. In Connecticut, Democrats flipped 29 municipalities blue. Voters said over and over again, we want something better. And it's the beginning of a good trend, and it bodes well for 2026, but we've got our work cut out for us. This is a president who will willingly starve Americans to win a political battle. So we need to stay focused and informed about how we can fight for our communities and our country, and that is why I love this show. I am thrilled to have Mayor-elect Barbara Smith of Norwalk on the line, along with First Selectman-elect Kevin Christie of Westport, and right here in the studio, Dr. David Chess, Mayor-elect of Stratford. First of all, welcome and congratulations, and thank you all three of you for dedicating your time and skills to your communities. It's good to have you on. Let's make sure we've got everybody on the line. Are you on, Kevin and Barbara? I can't hear Kevin and Barbara if they are on.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Hello, Kevin. Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. And I'm sitting here looking at Dr. Chess, at David, and we've been having a nice morning together. I just want to say local government is the most direct impact on voters, and it's often underappreciated. And that's why I'm so happy to have you. The three of you are public servants who are not career politicians. David, you are a physician who has built large and meaningful medical practices and been a business leader in Stratford for years. And Kevin, your impressive background before becoming involved in Westport and becoming elected to the Board of Ed was in finance, investment banking, corporate strategy. And Barbara Smith, you served four terms on the Norwalk Common Council, where you've been both council president and majority leader, but you spent your entire career as an educator. You're a middle and high school English teacher. And so your voices, your experiences, and your life stories clearly spoke to the voters in your communities. And what I'd like to start out by asking each of you is, what was it about your life story that led you to seek this role you're in? Let's start with you, Barbara.
Sure. Thanks, Melissa. Just one thing, I'm not a lifelong career teacher. I actually began my career in the radio industry.
Apologies.
No, yeah, in Western Pennsylvania, where I grew up, I, you know, just got active in the college radio station, and that led to a 15-year career in radio, both on and off the air, mostly on. And so, you know, I really honed my communication skills there. And then
important for a leader.
Very important, right? And also, you know, I made the change to teaching when I had two kids, one in middle school and one in high school, and then had a baby with my current husband, whom I've been married to for 31 years, Pete. But it was really, you know, it was a changing time. My middle schooler was really struggling, and I felt the need to help kids. And that's when I went to graduate school, got my secondary education.
And is that when you began to get involved politically as well, or did that come
not
later?
Not yet. Not yet. I actually first, you know, my whole, I've been an activist to a certain extent my whole life. And I was always told by my sisters, my family, friends that I should run for office and never thought that that was for me.
Many, many women, it takes a long time. What do they have to ask seven times to run for office?
Oh, gosh, it must have been dozens and dozens for me. But over the course of my life, but it was when Donald Trump was elected the first time that I really decided to step up, get involved. I really felt that we needed more women's voices at the table at every level of government.
Absolutely.
And that's when I decided to run for Common Council.
Thank you for doing that. David, what is it that spoke to you about this type of leadership?
So as a physician, it's always been about taking care of people. And that's always been my driver to make a difference in people's lives. Over the years, you have many, many iterations. I started out actually as a biochemist. I went to medical school. I created the largest medical practice in Fairfield County with PrimeMed. And I always wondered, how do I get to touch more people? How do I get to affect more people? And then I began to create the national companies in kind of innovative strategies in healthcare. And so I recently, a few years ago, retired from active management of those entities and got more involved in my community and said, "Hey, I could make a big difference here. I know how to take care of people."
Kevin, your background, you have such incredible management experience. What is it about your story you think that spoke to voters, and why did you do this?
Yeah, I think one, it's certainly my professional experience in background relative to what Westport needs right now. You know, we're facing a $500 million 10-year capital forecast that continues to grow. And my background in finance and banking and strategy, which is all about bringing people together to solve problems and address challenges and opportunities and then actually go out and execute, I think really spoke to voters in the context of what we need now. Two, part of being a great leader is being able to build a great team and kind of knowing what the needs are. And so many of our challenges and opportunities are land use oriented. So I really wanted to run with a select person who has a background in land use and planning and zoning. And that is exactly
that's a really interesting point. Land use. It's one of the things I want to talk about when we come back, because it's certainly an issue facing all of these communities. I'll ask you guys to hold on. We have to take a quick break and we will be right back with Mayor-elect Barbara Smith, Mayor-elect David Chess, and First Selectman-elect Kevin Christie. This is Melissa Kane. This is WICC, Voice of Connecticut.
Let's find out what's on their minds. It's Wake Up with Finch and Kane, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the Voice of Connecticut.
We're back. This is Melissa Kane waking up with you on WICC this morning. We're talking with the newly elected chief executives of three Fairfield County municipalities who have the honor ahead of them of ensuring the financial welfare, safety, and civil liberties of their respective communities. And I want to shift because I think clearly many things factored into these elections, national, state, local issues. And I'd love to hear briefly from all of you how your campaign went and whether to what degree national issues were involved. David, was there a lot of focus on what's going on nationally in Stratford?
So Stratford was a bit different in that we've been under Republican leadership for over 16 years.
Yeah, I did forget to mention that David, you are a big flip, as is the First Selectman's office in Westport, which is wonderful. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and so no one thought it could be done. Laura Hoydick, who's been there, who is a very nice person, was generally liked. And so this really came as an upset. But what we did was I knocked on over 5,000 doors. I had thousands of conversations.
That's a lot of doors. Barbara, Kevin, I'm assuming you guys were busy knocking doors as well.
Absolutely. I knocked almost 4,000 doors.
What about you, Kevin? Westport's a little smaller.
A little smaller, but even knocked through Election Day.
David, you were saying when you're knocking the doors, did national issues come up?
National issues were for many people in the background, they said, you know, I'm only going to vote Democrat.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But there's
I mean,
a lot of folks.
We certainly saw that. Right?
You know, in our town, our education system has crumbled. We have very poor business development. We've gone from being a leader to being an afterthought in our local communities. Shelton has gone way beyond us, Milford. And so I spoke to a lot of that in my background being business development. Mm-hmm. Likewise, really resonated with them because I brought a real vision. I brought positivity. I brought growth.
Wow.
And that made a big difference. And our turnout was extraordinary. We had more people turn out.
Connecticut, across the line, was an incredible turnout for this election. Barbara, was the campaigning in Norwalk anything like what we're seeing in Washington? Were there dirty tricks?
Well, I don't know so much about dirty tricks, maybe a few by my opponents. But you know, just in terms of national politics affecting Norwalk, it really was a factor here. You know, as a city of 93,000 people, we have a really diverse population from every background and, you know, socioeconomically, ethnically, yeah, racially, you know. So we've really, really been affected by national politics. And, you know, we had some ICE raids here in Norwalk,
yes,
which terrified our community, not just the immigrant community. It was making, and this is something I heard on the doors a lot, is people were scared to speak out about their democratic values due to fear of violence and retribution.
And I find that to be
that
one of the
really
most dangerous things that's going on here. You've just hit the nail on the head. If people are afraid to speak out, we're in real trouble. So it's interesting that they were able to say that to you.
Yeah, they did. You know, because, you know, we all put up our lawn signs all over town. And some of the people who, you know, you knew you could count on year after year who've taken my signs as I've run for council were like, you know what, I'm scared this year. I'm really scared. So, yeah. And so, you know, losing SNAP benefits.
Sure.
And, you know, all that, we have a lot of vulnerable citizens here in Norwalk who are really feeling the effects. And so we saw that blue wave here in Norwalk like we did everywhere.
Yeah.
But across the country, but you know, we're feeling it.
I know you are. And look, Westport's a very different community. But Kevin, what were the conversations you were having at the doors, and did those issues that are right next door come up for you?
They did. You know, it was a bit of a crescendo that was building throughout the campaign. And you know, it was in August where just a few miles down the street in Norwalk, where, you know, masked federal agents were snatching up community members, which led to a fair amount of outrage on the doors. And, you know, I think, as I've talked about throughout the entire campaign, most of our challenges and opportunities in Westport are not partisan. And it's critical that our town's leadership should reflect our values.
And throughout the campaign, we saw
more and more people being impacted, whether it be, you know, ICE related or, you know, those who are going hungry and food insecurity.
Yeah. Food insecurity or hunger. Let's call it what it is.
As we heard last night. Yeah.
You are listening to Wake Up on WICC. I'm Melissa Kane, and our guests this morning are Barbara Smith, David Chess, and Kevin Christie, who are all about to take on pretty tough roles as the newly elected municipal leaders of very different municipalities, as we've been talking about. But every municipality has similar problems: the cost and availability of housing, public safety, economic development. Barbara, tell me a little bit, and this probably was part of your campaign, how you're going to address the major issues you've identified in Norwalk.
Yeah, so, you know, affordability is a problem not just here in Norwalk and in the state of Connecticut. It's a global problem,
sure,
you know. So it's not going to be easy to address. But, you know, what I intend to do is partner with housing, you know, anyone involved in housing, whether it be developers or banks or, you know, people who are working. You know, I've noticed on boards and on boards of, you know, like the Open Doors Homeless Shelter, who've got some creative ideas about, you know, creating affordable housing. So we really need to diversify our housing stock and address it. But, you know, I'm not going to, you know, say it's going to be easy.
Right,
it definitely
right.
will be difficult.
But
development is also, you know, development is really a big issue here in Norwalk. And people are very split about it. You know, we're a growing city, and it's very exciting in a lot of ways. But people who grew up here and, you know, feel that their city's really changing are, you know, feeling a lot of anger about it. And so,
I think that's a sentiment that's echoed throughout the state.
Yeah.
You know, truly, yeah. Kevin, do you, I mean, I know that, I believe development was a big issue in Westport as well.
It totally was, and continues to be, in kind of two ways. One, there was a significant open application with the Planning and Zoning Commission down in Saugatuck for us that you know, led to a number of concerns in the community and with Planning and Zoning Commissioners around incremental density in an area of town that's right off of 95. And the developer ultimately wasn't able to address the commissioner's concerns around traffic and safety. So that project was...
But you need to find a way to get more housing.
Totally. And that's why we have so many experts in town from our own Affordable Housing Committee. We started an Affordable Housing Trust Fund a little over a year ago that now has more around $1.5 million in it. We have Homes with Hope. We have the Westport Housing Authority. I think it's critical through line of what we've been talking about in the campaign is to have a plan.
And that sounds like you and Barbara are looking sort of similarly at partnering with local organizations who are focused on this. Do you have anything, David, like that in Stratford? Is that a focus?
Well, there's a ton of not in my backyard in Stratford. Yeah. And so... and once you mention the words affordable housing, a developer will come in on an acre of land, want to put up 150 units. And we've been battling that. And so
battling that perception.
Yeah. Well, not just perception, these fights. And then it often goes to the courts, and then the courts often will side with the developer because they're meeting the letter of the law. So how do you get ahead of it? So we're creating a very, very aggressive land use approach where every parcel we meet with our local constituents in each community and create our own plans. And looking to develop a vehicle for private-public partnerships where we have a stake in it. And that changes everything. And if you can go to a developer and say, you know, this is only going to be 20 units, not 150, but you could have the stake in the ground in 4 months, changes the conversation.
Yeah. Well, obviously, there was a new legislation finally put through the special session this week. We'd love to talk about it with the three of you when we come back. But I'm going to take a quick break now for news and weather. This is Wake Up on WICC, and we will be back with these three impressive newly elected Fairfield County Municipal CEOs after this break.
Fairfield County Talk for Sunday morning. Wake Up with Finch and Kane is live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Welcome back. It's Melissa Kane here on WICC, and we've been talking this morning with Norwalk Mayor-elect Barbara Smith, Stratford Mayor-elect David Chess, and Westport First Selectman-elect Kevin Christie. And I want to follow up a little bit on the development issues that we were talking about before, but really from a different perspective. Look, Connecticut has a very unique system of supporting municipalities, and the legislature and Governor Lamont have really put us in a decent financial position to continue that. And obviously, we just finished the special session. What do you need from the state, Kevin? What do you need with regards to both development and anything else? What are you looking for from the state?
I guess one, what we all talk about, local control and having the flexibility and the runway to further develop and enhance our affordable housing plan, which will now be the housing growth plan under the new likely legislation, assuming the governor signs it. And I think that is critical as we talk about the resources that we want to bring together to help plan and then execute. And I think as the governor has been talking about the new legislation, that's exactly what he wanted to provide. And it's one of the challenges of kind of having to legislate for 169 municipalities that are all relatively very different in terms of urban, rural, and suburban. So that is one, local control, which I think at a high level is what the new legislation provides. And then two, I'm intrigued by the Connecticut Municipal Development Authority. I have been since the summer. Fairfield has been using them, and it's another resource and opportunity that the state provides, kind of no strings attached, to help from a planning process. And then to the extent we do want to move forward with them, there's additional funding opportunities as well. So that's the second part is as well, expertise and funding opportunities.
Are you looking for something similar, David?
So absolutely. The whole key, at least in Stratford, is to do development that's sensitive to the community in which, you know, we have 10 different districts. It's like almost 10 different cities. There's such diversity and it's just very different. So to be able to hone what we want and the sizing of what we want to our specific neighborhoods is critical. And that flexibility is what we're looking for. And we're also looking for funding mechanisms to be able to create vibrant public-private partnerships so that we have a real say in this process and perhaps create alternate additional revenues, not just relying on taxes, but on actual bottom line.
Barbara, for Norwalk, what can the state be doing for you that perhaps it isn't?
Yeah, so, you know, I have a kind of in the middle here of the different perspectives is, you know, Norwalk has well over 13% affordable housing. The communities around us, the wealthier communities around us, are in the 3% area. And so, you know, with the housing bill, although I absolutely understand the need for local control, because, you know, we want that in Norwalk, too.
As you were saying, it makes sense.
And this, you know, I talked about this a lot during the campaign, is, you know, we want to make sure that the communities around us are also, you know, doing their fair share. Greenwich, for example, is woefully behind, you know. And so, you know, I look at things like, you know, the extreme achievement level gap in our schools among the different communities and, you know, things like that, that, you know, I think that, you know, the burden shouldn't be just on the cities to provide affordable housing. I think we need a little more fair share from the communities around us. And, you know, and Kevin, I'd love to talk to you more and partner with you more about, you know, how we can do that in a sensitive way where we're thinking about our residents.
You know, because we're all neighbors.
I like that we're making connections right here, right now. And it's really what we all need to be doing in order to protect ourselves. And I hate to do this, but I'm going to turn to this criminal leading our country because, you know, we know that the corruption and cruelty and policies that he is, I say policies with a little bit of a air quotes, really destroying. They are destroying so much of what we hold dear. And you, as local leaders, you have a responsibility. What in your communities can you do to help maintain the pillars of democracy? I mean, Barbara, you've been talking about ICE raids in Norwalk. We're all aware of. What do you see as your role? What can you be doing to protect your community members from what's happening? Obviously.
Yeah, any leader in any community wants to keep their residents safe. And so that's a top priority for me. And so I'll work closely with our chief of police, James Walsh, who is just incredible. And, you know, we have strong policies here in Norwalk of not cooperating with ICE. Looking to hopefully boost the Trust Act. So we stay strong with the Trust Act, and I will continue to do that. But also, you know, one of the things that I was involved in early on as a council member was developing the Community Services Department of the city and chairing that committee. And so I work really closely with our chief of community services, Lamont Daniels, and will continue to working with the local nonprofits who service our vulnerable citizens.
There are so many vulnerable citizens. Mm-hmm. There are, more and more as we see it. There's a theme here. It's about cooperation and partnership.
And something, you know, it was already referred to last night, but, you know,
I just want to interrupt, Barbara. All four of us were at the John Bailey dinner in Hartford last night and heard Governor Andy Beshear speak as well as Governor Lamont. Barbara, I want to give David a chance to sort of say, if you don't mind, what he sees as the role of upholding those pillars of democracy, what he can be doing in Stratford.
So that was clearly one of the things that I ran on, that we need to have a real democracy. And when you're going from door to door and people tell you, why do I need to come out to vote? It doesn't matter. There's a real disconnect between our communities and our governments at every level. And so how do you get people out? And so one of my initiatives is in each district to create its own council, not a formal bureaucracy, but a door that's open and that, in fact, will report to the town council and to the mayor's office on a quarterly basis, and we'll have people assigned to it.
On what their needs, specific needs are?
On what their needs are. So if there's issues around their parks, and there's blight, there's crime, they have a direct voice. If there's a land use that's going into a spot,
but specifically having to do with threats to our democracy.
So in terms of, so we have 49 unique languages spoken in our schools
now. Wow.
We have a very large immigrant population, a lot of refugees, a lot of people were scared to even come to the door.
Mm.
So in that setting, I'm hoping to create ICE watch groups,
okay,
where we have witness groups that if once we identify they're in town, there's people assigned to be with them. And likewise, we identify those most vulnerable and most likely targets and create witness groups around them as well.
Kevin, do you see, I guess I'd like to know, what are the issues that have affected Westport? I really remember book bans being an issue, but how do you proactively fight for our democracy?
Yeah, I think it's making community members aware, one, of issues like ICE. I was the first person, candidate or current first select person, to put out a statement after what we saw in Barberstown and city in Norwalk. That shouldn't be the case. And I reached out to the Attorney General's office on a Sunday for additional resources to what we can do to help inform our community about their rights and what they can do if they see ICE activity.
Yeah, you're sort of saying how our town, your town, can be helpful to other towns as well, it sounds like. Looking out for each other.
Yes, and we're all neighbors. And yes, this notion that national doesn't impact local, that's just false. I've seen it for four years on the Board of Education with critical race theory and book banning. That has happened in our schools, and we're seeing it
all around this state, sadly, too.
Yeah.
We've got to take a break, and we'll be right back with Barbara Smith, David Chess, and Kevin Christie. Come on back.
They've got a lot on their minds. So let's get to it. You're listening to Wake Up with Finch and Kane, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
My mind. I'm Melissa Kane. You're on WICC, and I am lucky to be speaking with the mayor-elect of Norwalk, Barbara Smith, the first selectman-elect of Westport, Kevin Christie, and the mayor-elect of Stratford, David Chess. All three of you, I'm shifting here because we don't have a lot of time, sadly. You are all three chief elected officials of coastal communities. And this is something that is very close to my heart and to Bill's heart. Since 2000, mayors across the U.S. have been leading the charge on climate change. They've been implementing renewable energy, reducing emissions, increasing recycling, and planning for coastal resilience to flooding. And now this president is actually fighting against the effort to plan for and stem the impacts of what is truly an existential problem. I would love to understand how you're going to fight, continue to fight, and I'd love to hear some of your ideas. David, I will start with you.
So we're planning to create a solar farm on top of our parking lot over by the train station. We are looking into anaerobic digesters or aerobic digesters. We have a very aggressive resiliency plan that we're putting in place. We had a detailed map done. We have 9 miles of coastal, and a third of our town is in flood zone. So that's a big deal for us. So we have a number of projects already underway to protect our coastline.
Oh, that's wonderful. Kevin, what is on your mind for Westport? How can you shore up the shoreline?
Yeah, it's critical. We are losing our Campo Beach, and flooding is not just a coastal problem in Westport. It's also inland as well. And again, I think it's another opportunity to actually proactively partner with the state and the venture they have with UConn and DEEP, the Connecticut Institute for Resilience and Climate Adaptation.
And that has certainly not been tapped before now by the past administration, I'm guessing.
Exactly. And there are coastal towns like Madison. And I'd love to talk to Dr. Chess and Barbara about it as well. But that's an available resource that can help us plan to protect Westporters, to educate Westporters, and more that we can do as a town to, you know, just from a green infrastructure and flood resiliency perspective. Yeah. So that is high on our list for next week.
Next week. Kevin is being sworn in tomorrow night. David is being sworn in December 8th. Yeah. And Barbara, when are you being sworn in?
January 2nd.
All right, so you have a little more time. You have a little more time.
You.
So what are you thinking about with regard to resiliency? What is your platform? What do you think you can go first?
Yeah, resiliency is a really important part of what we have been doing here in Norwalk and will continue to. And, you know, as a shoreline community and having one of the most important oystering farms in the entire country here, you know,
Norm Bloom?
Our commitment. Yep, Norm Bloom, you bet. And you know, as a city, we're really committed to making sure that that stays healthy. And so we've made massive investments in our wastewater treatment plant. In fact, we just got a report that we are sending 2 million gallons per day less through our wastewater treatment plant than we did just 10, 15 years
ago.
Wow,
that's pretty impressive.
Yes, lots of investments. And so we're also focusing on, you know, planting trees. We've increased that dramatically over the last few years. Microforests, looking for any space where we can create, you know, that kind of pocket park, particularly in our urban core where it's, you know, really an issue of equity, right?
Sure.
Because of heat
Absolutely.
Islands and whatnot. Yep. So that's some of the things. And we've got a bunch of studies going on, you know, in terms of looking at, you know, because we've got flooding issues. Very.
I mean, I think all of your towns and cities
do.
We sure do.
You know, looking at some, you know, like raising roads, which is massively expensive. And
yes.
So, you know, I don't
and
think
that's a
place
that
we can
I imagine that's something that you look
state.
At with, you know,
yeah.
state or eventually
state
funding from
exactly.
the government. Yeah. You know, I'm looking at the clock and we're coming towards the end of our time. And I have a question that I like to ask all of our guests and I'd really love to hear from you. And really this is far ranging and far reaching. What other than winning your elections is giving you hope and propelling you forward as you enter these very, you know, important positions that have a lot of responsibility. I will start with you, David, because I'm looking right at you.
So the outpouring of love and the desire to be involved by people in Stratford has been overwhelming. People are so excited about the opportunity for change, and they want to be a part of it. And that's a well that needs to be harvested, that needs to be drilled. We need to bring people together. It's an untapped resource. You know, we've evolved into these communities where people just live in their home, in their little boxes, and they're not connected like they used to be. I'm looking to really bring people together.
Community. What about you, Barbara? What's making your heart sing?
Yeah, it's the people of Norwalk. Absolutely. And, you know, I've, as I said, I've knocked thousands of doors and I've gotten to talk to a lot of people and, you know, their input and their excitement about our future as a city has been really great, despite the difficult times we're going through nationally. So and I've been really inspired by the young people that have gotten involved. And I would imagine that Kevin and David have seen something similar in their communities, is that, you know, this second Trump administration has really rallied our young people, where I think, you know, in past years, we've seen some apathy there. but they're starting to, you know, come out and get involved. And that really excites me.
Yeah. And to your point, it hasn't just rallied young voters. The turnout has been incredible. David was telling me highest turnout ever, I think, for
The early voting. We were the leaders in the whole state. Yeah.
And I know Norwalk and Westport both had very high turnout.
Historic.
In both places, as well as the whole state. Kevin, what is giving you hope right now, and what's going to propel you into this position?
Yeah, honestly, it's similar. It's community. You know, Westport has incredible assets with our schools and Compo and Longshore and the library. At the end of the day, it was the community that brought me and my family to Westport, and Westport truly drives and runs on volunteerism and engagement, and it was just so uplifting to have so many new people come into the campaign and get involved in our town just over the course of the past 5 or 6 months. That's one of the big things that drove our historic turnout of nearly 50%, 49.5%. Highest number of voters since at least 1997. And that spirit of bringing people together to, you know, make our amazing town even better is what continues to drive me. Similar to what Barbara said, having, you know, the young people involved as well. We had incredible interns. We had incredible conversations at the doors with young families as well. And I'm excited and optimistic about our future. And it's so nice to see similar stories, not only with our neighbors on the phone today, in Fairfield County and in the state in general.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you finish up. I think, honestly, what I'm hearing here is that it's all about community for all three of you. And you made that abundantly clear throughout your campaigns. And that seems to be what people are saying. We want something better. We want to be focused on people's needs, listening. Candidates, elected officials, public servants who are actually listening to what our communities need. So I thank all three of you for being those candidates, and now those elected officials who will be sworn in, Kevin tomorrow night, David December 8th, and Barbara January 2nd, I think you said. I wish you all. Did you say 5th? Sorry.
No, you're right. Yes.
January 2nd. I wish you all great good luck. And again, thank you to my guests this morning, Mayor-elect Barbara Smith of Norwalk, First Selectman-elect Kevin Christie of Westport, and Mayor-elect Dr. David Chess of Stratford. And a huge, huge thank you to our producer, Paul Goodman, and to Connoisseur Media for allowing Bill and me to wake up with you every Sunday morning. Bill will be back here next Sunday morning, and we were you know, excited to have all of you with us. Most of all, we thank you, our listeners, for waking up with us every Sunday. We say wake up, and we mean it in a lot of different ways. I'm Melissa Kane. I will be back next week. Bill will be here. We miss you, Bill. Have a wonderful Sunday. Stay engaged and stay strong.